You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Welcome to the episode of Love and Reality Podcast. I am your host, Ricky Valero. On today's episode, we are going to continue our journey through Vanderpump Rules. We are in season 2, episode 7. We are going to break everything down that happened in that episode. We are also going to talk about Lego Masters, season 5, episode 4. Is that right? 4 is right? I think 4 is right. 4 is right. All right. Quite an interesting episode on both sides. I love that we're continuing to do this because on my side, going through Vanderpump Rules and switching to Lego Masters is polar opposite of anything that you could want from out of life. But that said, I am joined by my podcast partner, Matthew Fox. How are you, sir?
Doing pretty good. Watching this week's episode, I realized maybe I did my 30th birthday wrong.
I just want to know, are you a kind of person that's more naked around your boyfriend or your girlfriends than your boyfriends? That's the first question I have for you, because that's the funny open liner of this episode. Because I want to say this, I am not a Stassi person at all, really. I think that she kind of sucks. Right now, she could have the overture of turning around her life for us in front of her eyes. But as of season 2, episode 7, she has been quite the one-liner over the last few weeks. Maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, this is a bad beat for Katie, too. First of all, I had to go to that awkward, you know, I've heard of girls going to the bathroom together, but I didn't realize they needed to go, you know, wax the lower regions together.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting.
That was not what I was on my bingo card. And then she had sort of a bad beat at Peter's birthday party, too. So rough week for Katie.
It was a rough week for Katie. Season 2, episode 7 is titled Addicted. This could be addicted for several different things. We could be talking about Jax. We could be talking about Katie. We could talk about the entire cast who's addicted to a lot of different things. But Vanderpump Rules, season 2, episode 7, titled Addicted. Lisa tries to wish Peter a happy 30th birthday, but when Sheena gives Peter an inappropriate lap dance, Katie and Kristen pick a fight and run Sheena out of the party. Stassi accuses Jax of being a sex addict, only to learn that Jax may have slept with one of her best friends. This episode has an 8.0 on IMDb. One of the more interesting things is, this actually is one of the more accurate synopsises of an episode we've had so far.
Yeah, except I wouldn't say they necessarily picked a fight. That's a little...
Picking up. Well, I mean, they started attacking her, and I feel like we can get into it.
I mean, she started attacking everyone. This makes it seem like Katie and Kristen were on the same team. I think they decided they were not.
Yeah, because we get a little bit more tidbit of about what happened at the rest after the party at the yard, whatever the yard sale or whatever that was. But as we mentioned here, it is Peter's 30th birthday. He invites Lisa to the party. She says she knew kind of the only reason she was getting invited was for her to pay for it. Which, I mean, hell, if you've got a rich boss like that, who's not inviting the party? I mean, and when she showed up, she ordered shots for everybody. So I mean, they got what they wanted out of it, right? We get, hopefully, we've only been asking for this for 15 episodes, I think it is now. I'm not counting the reunions. Jax wants Stassi, but Stassi doesn't want Jax. He calls her a fucking bitch at the restaurant. But this is at the restaurant, right? Yeah, this is at the restaurant.
I think no. Oh yeah, when they're at work, because Jax, I thought, wisely decided not to attend the party.
Jax says he's throwing in the towel. Does he do it? We don't know. We don't know. They could be dating again next week. We thought this was the end so many different times. I'm enjoying it never being the end. But yeah, so what are your thoughts about the potential resolution that we could just pop up and be like, hey, this is what we said 3 weeks ago about this relationship. But this is my thing. I blame Jax in this particular instance only because he continues to text Stassi and say all of these things. Like, he's out here doing his thing. Now Stassi eggs him on by calling him all these other names because he's out here mare whoring, which we'll talk about in a second. But do you think we are finally going to have resolution between Jax and Stassi?
It's got to be the hope, right? But, hard to say definitively at this point in time. I certainly, their back and forth, the weird pattern we're stuck in with Kristen and Tom, it's just made this, not that interesting. We also started seeing some cracks in the armor in another couple in this episode too, later at the party, which is interesting. But I don't think, they don't even seem like they like each other most of the time. All this season, Stassi's not seemed like she really cares for Jax. I do think he's had a point, he said before, that he feels like she's just keeping him around as a backup plan.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree with that. Yeah. Because there's been times where, early in the season, they were at her parents' getaway, and yes, she kissed him. You know what I mean? So it's like it's not one-sided, but I wish Jax would just throw in the towel and call it a day. Speaking of Tom and Kristen, he planned a date, which she was very excited about. I didn't think that I realized that Kristen was vegetarian.
Me either. But apparently he's known she was a vegetarian, did not do an exceptional job here.
Yeah, this was interesting for me. I was not 100% certain. Like, I was like, cool, Tom's making smart decisions, but then of course he takes her to a restaurant that's very much cooking the meat right in front of her, and she just was not having it. He went from like getting like brownie points to getting thrown under the bus all at the same time.
Yeah, I hope they're kind of finally done.
Honestly, yeah, I'm really ready for like all these relationships to be over. Jax took Paige out on a date. Jax said he's never had issues picking up women. It doesn't matter the age. Oh, I added that part. Sorry. He has apparently had sex with 7 girls in 2 weeks, which, is...
Well, he continuously says he's not sure he's ready to date or move on.
But takes a girl on a date and kind of was like trying to throw himself into their life. Let's see here. 30th party. Let's talk about this 30th birthday party. Lisa arrived. As I mentioned, she showed up getting shots. Sheena threw down a lap dance on Peter. Sheena was like...
Which, honestly, was not her own original idea.
No. Not at all.
That's literally continuing the dubious boss-employee relationships. Lisa's like, yeah, she asked all of them to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, Peter said he wants to get it's his birthday. He should have gotten a lap dance from everybody. Peter was just trying to take advantage of his 5 minutes of fame, because there's moments where we see Peter for 30 seconds in these episodes, or he just pops up and makes drinks for everybody. But
it's because he actually works.
Yeah. So, I mean,
they have that many people that actually. Well, he's the manager. I wonder if sometimes he's like, was it worth it for him to stab these people?
Yeah, exactly. Sheena and Kristen fight over her being in the friend group, which is only the beginning of what we get as a big blow up. Yeah. Katie called Sheena a single white female who's obsessed with Stassi. And it quite possibly could have been one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my entire life.
So Sheena did have a fair point in wondering why Stassi wouldn't stick up for her a little bit, because they did seem like they patched things up right before this. They got together, even though her side interviews are damning with faint praise or kind of fake comments from Stassi. But it seemed like they were together. And then, you know, Katie apparently got jackhammered and just started going off. Stassi's interview saying, you know, when she's like this, there's no talking to her, so why even try? Well, that is a little awkward if you're just sitting there, you know, your silence is deafening for Sheena, who makes it sound like Sheena's just out there trying to get action any way she can. And that isn't exactly what happened. They were all there. Yeah. They all heard Lisa's suggestion during her hit and run at the party that they should do this. And I thought it was fascinating then when Sheena retreats back inside, Tom Schwartz, who is Katie's almost married boyfriend.
Oh, yeah, I love that. He basically apologized to Sheena on Katie's behalf.
Because he says Katie's a nightmare when she drinks. And clearly he knew that. So he decided to stay inside. But then, you know, to his credit, he did go out there and tell her she was being unreasonable.
Yeah.
It seemed like it helped, but...
Yeah, he said, you know, you're out of line. And then Katie comes back with one of my favorite lines of the whole entire episode. My own boyfriend is sticking up for the whore, which was awesome. This entire thing was interesting to me because Katie was in the wrong, obviously. You know what I mean? Like that to me, you know, she was way, way out of line. And obviously we even hear later, you know, she seems to have some deep issues within. Shocker, anybody on the show has deep with issues within. But we also find out at this little get together that's like a yard sale, maybe, that everybody was supposed to bring shit to, that really just never comes to fruition. But apparently Katie threw water on Stassi and Kristen. Like, why didn't we see that? Why didn't we get to see that? I want to know why, because that would have been hilarious. It wouldn't have been the first time we saw somebody pour a drink on somebody on this show, or throw a drink at somebody, or throw a fit about things on the show. I would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah.
But Katie eventually shows up at the yard sale, apparently while Katie was drunk.
Also, can we reflect about this yard sale for a minute? Like, who at a yard sale buys used underwear? Like, they took a shot of one of those baskets, and it was like bras and thongs. I mean,
brawls and thongs, yards.
You don't get those at Goodwill. You don't pick those up in a yard sale. Other than that, yeah, you know, like when they come back afterward and they're like, we didn't sell a thing.
No shit.
Shocking. You had this unadvertised yard sale where you're selling used underwear and there are cameras filming. Who's stopping for this? It also appeared to be a weekday in the middle of Los Angeles. I mean,
and it didn't look like there was a whole hell of a lot of stuff.
Maybe either. It was a weekend. Yeah, there was like a couple of lamps and end table, which I don't know if it was just out there to hold up the basket of used underwear, some outfits for, you know, if you're a tight size one, you know. What is the pool you're hoping to attract with all this? I just as soon as they're showing stuff, I'm like, dude.
Yeah, it was hilarious. And then Katie shows up to the yard sale. She's crying. She says, I hate myself more than you hate me.
But apparently she also forgot her bag of used underwear to contribute to
the fire. She did. They were kind of mad about it. You were supposed to bring something.
I like how the three of them commingled all that stuff too. Like,
yeah. But the biggest news of the entire thing was apparently while she was drunk, Katie said she knows for sure that Tom and Ariana bumped uglies. But the big shock was apparently Jax and Kristen have bumped the uglies. And that, of course, sent Stassi off because she said if it's true, she's going to kill Kristen. Now, I don't know, because I have never watched this show. I don't know if this ever comes out to be true or not. So this is all fresh stuff for me. If this comes out to be true, and I don't want to know, because we'll find out, obviously. But my big thing is, this wouldn't just make Stassi mad. this would make Sandoval pretty mad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like Katie seems like she gets drunk and gets toxic. And that's really it.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Yeah.
I don't even really know what to say about that.
It was kind of shocking.
That's not what I was expecting. I mean, obviously the friend you could allude to the idea was probably those two, but
you know, Katie feels bad about this, I guess, but admitting, you know, it feels like an out of left field rumor, but
anything's possible.
Anything is indeed possible.
I think that's the big thing for me, is anything is possible. All right. Favorite part of the episode, obviously, who is our Vanderpump Rules Season 2, Episode 7, MVP?
You know, I'm taking a page out of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, where they win. Actually, it's Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, where they win because of Neville. You know, Neville gets 10 points that puts him over the top, because even though he loved Harry and Ron and Hermione, he told them what they were doing was wrong. And even though they blew him off, he stood up to them, and it's hard to stand up to your friends. So Tom Schwartz making an apology and then going out there and standing up to someone he's almost engaged to, I'm just going to use the air quotes there, is my MVP. He's the Neville Chamberlain of this week's episode.
Yeah, to me, that probably potentially was going to be mine as well. So that doesn't really surprise me, picked him, because I felt like he was definitely top tier for this episode. Man, this is a hard one finding anybody else, I think. This really is hard, man. Let me go Shay. His name's Shay, right? Sheena's boyfriend. Yeah,
Mike Shay.
Yeah, I think that he kind of diffused the situation a little bit and was trying to defend his woman to everybody and kind of got the short end of the stick himself. So for me, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go with him as my MVP, which is a rare MVP probably for him, unless, you know, we see more of him in the future. But yeah.
He's also getting, like, cuckolded into getting engaged, apparently. So,
well, yeah, that as well. All right. Time to transition over to Season 5, Episode 4 of Lego Masters. Dun, 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 dun. All right, this week's episode of Lego Masters showed the 9 remaining teams entering the enchanting world of Wicket. In this Wicket-themed challenge, each team is given a mystical spell to inspire their build, and they must cleverly hide the spell-related elements within their creation. This was quite an interesting episode that I think both of us were looking forward to, because we were hoping and expecting some really creative builds with the world building of Wicket itself. I mean, it's one of the, you know, however you felt about the film, one of the dynamic things about the world of Wicket is the colorful creations and the productions of everything that it brings with it. So, obviously we had a nice little appearance from Jeff Goldblum, which is a nice little touch to add to this world. And we'll talk about another situation a little bit later, which was absolutely hilarious. The judges wanted to see magical builds within their builds that highlight the good and evil within their work. It took all of, I think, less than 10 minutes for John and Justin to break out into Defying Gravity. And then there was one moment in particular early on in this episode that Matthew Fox sent me a text message about, and I died hysterically for 10 minutes. Break it down for us.
Yeah, you know, our favorite brother-sister duo there, Ian and Sage, they're doing their build, and Will Arnett comes up, and not shockingly, they're big fans of Wicked, and they're... And he looks at Sage and is like, hey, do you want to meet Ariana Grande? And she's like, of course I do. And he's like, Ariana, come on out. And then it goes to commercial. And at no point in time did I ever think she was actually there. That would have been like, Fox would have aired the show during the season and not during the summer if they were getting, you know, people on that level. And of course, it just ends up being him using the opportunity to dunk on her a little bit.
And it was hilarious. At some point during the build, obviously we saw Will do the generosity spell, which added 30 minutes to the build for everybody. And one of the big things that was shocking when we get ready to go into the, you know, our thoughts on each of the builds here, I felt like there were some good ones, there were some okay ones, and there were some rough ones. But the big thing that we're going to talk about is Anthony and Joe. They were awarded the Golden Brick just a mere week ago.
Yeah.
And they thought that their build was not up to snuff.
We need to clarify first. So the Golden Brick, you can use it at any point in time and it makes you safe. However, if you don't use it and you end up even getting selected for the bottom two, you don't have to get voted out. If you get selected in the bottom two, they revoke the Golden Brick. So a lot of the back and forth between those guys was, are you worried we end up in the bottom two? I don't think they thought they were going to get eliminated, but I don't think they were as pumped about the build. They started to get more and more nervous is what it seemed like.
Yeah, and to me, like, look, I think this is one of those ones where you might, like, let your eyes wander around a little bit, I think, too, because there was a few builds, and correct me if I'm wrong if you don't agree with me, but if you looked around, there was several builds that I was very just, like, ugh, or underwhelmed by, and I feel like you could have done that as a safe test to kind of look around. I just feel like, and the judges agreed, and I think you agree, it definitely was a waste of the Golden Brick. Now, obviously, they're safe for another episode, which is the be-all, end-all of what it is. But
you even had interviews with some of the other teams that said, I don't know why they're worried. Their build looks really cool. I would not have used. And then after they end up being the first to present, Jamie even says, I don't think I would have used the Golden Brick here. I think they just psyched themselves out and got too nervous and didn't have enough faith in themselves. They didn't think they had their best build, but it would be solidly have been probably upper middle of the groups for me.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree. Yeah. I mean, they would have been probably, I mean, we got 9 teams. They would have probably been top 5 for sure, in my opinion. And that to me is, you know, again, I mean, obviously it's their jam, their thing to do, but it almost felt wasted. It almost felt like we got to a situation where they, you know, like I think you're 100%, you nailed it on the head. They psyched themselves out, really. You know what I mean? Like that's what they did here. And that was kind of sad. Who were some of your favorite builds within this episode?
You know, I liked actually, my most favorite was John and Justin. They ended up going into the top two. I liked theirs the best. I thought that they were going to win. I thought there was quite a few clever ones. The ultimate win went to Ben and Michael. I thought theirs was fine, but I feel like the judges are just hyped for them in a way that I haven't been to this point. Like I thought all their builds were very sound and were fine, but I haven't thought they were all spectacular. I was glad the week before, you know, that people got to vote and we saw the ones they were up against. It seemed like they're perennially in the top two, and so you always have like a 50-50 chance. But I actually liked John and Justin a little bit better.
I agree. I thought John and Justin, I feel like their build was probably my favorite as well. I actually really liked Corey and Rebecca's bubble spell, the Glinda birthday party. I liked that one quite a bit. I felt like they didn't get enough love. Who were some of your least favorites? And obviously we'll talk about who was eliminated and stuff like that, but and who was in the bottom two in a minute, but who were some of the ones that you were kind of underwhelmed by?
I think they probably picked the right two for the bottom, two. We've seen Alex and Tone struggle a little bit with building and design and having that design pop. So I was not surprised that they end up being the ones getting eliminated. They've been in the bottom two times in a row prior to this, and that's usually not a good sign if you can't, you know, climb out of that situation. It was unfortunate, probably for Nikki and Britton. I liked the scope of their design, but their motion failed them.
Mm-hmm.
So that little bit of a bummer.
I wasn't a big fan of Anna and Luke's. I really didn't like theirs at all. And I don't think I would have maybe replaced them with the other two, but with Alex and Tone, Nikki and Britton being in the bottom two there. But I felt like, yeah, they were just in that mix of also kind of having a somewhat underwhelming build there too.
It was kind of a bland design.
That picnic basket was just kind of, yeah.
There was, well, and that's why I say it makes it even rougher that Anthony and Joe played their golden brick, because they probably would have been the third or fourth best. You know, I don't always love Ian and Sage, but their build was pretty cool.
Birthday cake, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, Ben and Michael wasn't my favorite, but I would have probably had them in the upper, and John and Justin. So I probably would have had them about fourth. Maya and Jamie's was okay. Corey and Rebecca's was okay. I think Ann and Luke probably were on the cusp. It just, the repeated for Alex and Tone not being able to improve in a very specific criticism about the dynamics of the face and the dimension of the face was.
Yeah, ultimately they're nail killer. Let's see here. Next week's episode is... It is creating mind-blowing build that bursts with movement and tells a compelling story is next week's episode called Get It in Gear. It's definitely going to be an interesting episode, to say the least, I will say. I'm excited. This was, what were your overall thoughts on the episode? I thought there was some good stuff. I was kind of hoping for maybe a little bit more. I feel like there's some people that are top heavy in this. And there's some people that I'm waiting to see kind of break out almost, you know?
Yeah. I think Ian and Sage like their builds better than it so far. Most of the other people have, which will be interesting. I really still think like Anthony and Joe are the wild cards for me, because I think there's been great creativity in their build. Sometimes they don't believe in themselves enough, and sometimes it doesn't turn out quite perfect. There was some valid criticisms about the hat, but it was a clever idea. The other wild card I actually think is Maya and Jamie, the older father and daughter, because some of their builds have been pretty clever. Of the parent-child ones, I think they have a stronger case. Ben and Michael are going to be perennial contenders. John and Justin, a little bit interesting. They did get the win as part of that winning team with Nikki and Britton week two, and that was really cool. They were in the top two again this week. I think they have a lot of potential. They work really well together. It's about working well together and having some creative ideas, but also being a little daring.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Folks, we will actually be back in 2 weeks. Matthew Fox is going to go enjoy himself a little bit of a vacation next week. I do have an interview with Alex and Tone up on the YouTube channel. You can check out that interview. I will be breaking down next week's episode of Lego Masters. I've been breaking it down as a solo episode, dropping right after the episode airs. But we will be back in 2 weeks breaking down season 2, episode 8 of Vanderpump Rules, and then season 5, episode 6 of Lego Masters. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll be back very soon.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.